Bayrak International presents Dirty Business, a comedy by Derek Webb, as part of the series of occasional radio plays brought to you by CADS, Kyrenia Amateur Dramatic Society.
We find ourselves in an office at County Hall in the present day. The office contains a large modern desk with a large leather office chair behind it. On the desk is a computer, a large diary, various papers spread around, a filing tray with reports in it, a telephone and a round pen holder full of pens. There is a waste bin by the desk and on the other side of the room a coat stand, a bookcase with a photograph on it, a filing cabinet with a potted plant on it, and some other clutter. It is early evening and we find Josie, an office cleaner, half-heartedly pushing a duster across the corner of the desk. She stops, surveys what she's done, then looks at her watch. She rubs a duster across the seat of the big leather office chair, then looks at it thoughtfully before plonking herself in it. She puts her feet on the desk whilst pulling the duster first through one hand and then the other. She looks at her watch again and picks up a diary on the desk, which she flicks through in a distracted sort of way. Eventually, she gets up and goes over to the filing cabinet, where she picks up the plant that is standing on it, turns it round and puts it back. She flicks a duster across the top of the coat stand as she hears her colleague, Angela, enter carrying her cleaning caddy and looking slightly flustered.
There you are! For a while, I actually thought I was going to have to do the whole block myself.
Oh, sorry, Joes, couldn't get away. I've been on the radio.
What do you mean you've been on the radio?
That Simon Hoggins show, you know, where you have to answer 5 questions in a row.
What of it?
Well, I've been on it, haven't I? And I won.
What did you win?
Well, I got through the first round, got all 5 questions right. They were easier than I thought. So I go into the next round tomorrow night.
Oh, so you'll be late into work tomorrow night too, you mean?
No, shouldn't be. It normally goes out at 4:30, but it was nearly 5 tonight before they rang.
You actually waited till they rang then?
Well, of course. I couldn't let him down, could I?
Well, what about letting me down?
Oh, don't be daft. How am I letting you down? I'm only 10 minutes late. Normally, when I get here, you're out on the fire escape having a fag.
You can't actually smoke in the offices. You know that.
What I mean is, it's not as if when I arrive, I find there's a little dust storm with you at the centre whirling your feather watsit around.
At this ribbing, Josie gives Angela what could be called a very dirty look.
In actual fact, I've given up smoking.
What do you mean, you've given up smoking?
What I say, I've given it up, actually. No more tar-ridden lungs for me. No more wheezing when I cycle up to the spa to get my daily nicotine fix. I, Angela, am actually a reformed woman, a smoke-free zone. Well, what do you think of that, then?
I'll give you 2 days.
We'll see.
But why do you want to give up the fags? You always told me it was one of life's little pleasures.
We've all got to make sacrifices, Ange. Everyone's having to do it. You know that. I'm just doing my bit. I mean, if I can actually save a few bob by not smoking, well, that's a few bob I won't have to save elsewhere, isn't it?
If you say so.
It's my contribution to reducing the national
deficit.
Definitely. So, what are you going to give up?
That'd be telling.
Well, you're obviously not giving up the pub quiz team.
No way!
Or what goes with it.
A high IQ and a general and steady improvement in my general knowledge, you mean?
I was thinking more of drinking men.
You're just jealous.
In actual fact, Ange, I don't know as if I'd have the energy.
Yeah, well, the way I look at it, I've got to go out and get it while I can.
Well, that's one way of putting it.
How would you put it?
I wouldn't actually put it...
About? Is that what you were going to say?
Come on, it's time we got on. I mean, we don't want to give them any excuse, do we?
Don't want to give who any excuse?
The council.
Why do we want to give the council an excuse? An excuse for what?
Getting rid of us.
Is that really likely?
Highly. Well, not actually highly.
Lowly, then.
What?
Are you talking about these so-called planned cuts?
Exactly.
And do we know what the cuts are going to be?
I've heard a rumour.
That's what you call an intelligent, good-looking, sensitive bloke, isn't it?
What?
A rumour.
It's serious, Ange. Really serious. I mean, the council are looking to make savings wherever they can, and we could be on their hit list.
Us? Why would we be on their hit list? With our paltry wages, they're hardly going to save much, are they?
It all adds up, doesn't it? They've got to make loads of cuts, and our necks could be on the block. In actual fact, it's a bit worrying.
Oh? What have you heard, then?
25% cuts, they say, across the board, all departments. Why? That's almost nearly a quarter.
I think you'll find that 25% is exactly a quarter, Jose.
Well, whatever, it's ridiculous.
Well, I'll agree with you there. If it's true, it's out of order. There are people depending on the council for loads of things.
You're telling me. If it happens, council services will be totally desiccated.
Decimated. Desiccated is coconut.
What are you talking about, Ange?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Where'd you find out all this, then?
Darren Simpson.
The nerd that works in IT?
He keeps his ears to the ground, does Darren?
With the size of those flappers of his, it's probably their weight that drags them down.
He can be useful, our Darren can. And he says he's seen a list of cuts when he was doing something or other on the network. A confidential file, he says.
Which he just happened to open?
Part of his job, isn't it? He has to be able to get into any file. Might be a virus lurking or something. You never know.
And that's what he told you, was it? He has to go poking into files looking for viruses?
Something like that. Anyway, we should be grateful to Darren in actual fact. If it weren't for him, we'd still be in the dark.
I don't know about you, Jose, but I am still in the dark. What did Darren's little espionage trip reveal exactly?
I told you. 25% cuts across the board. And no sacred cows either. No wonder they didn't want to let the cat out of the bag before they have to. Nothing is safe. Darren reckons they're going to close down everything they can.
Oh? Like what?
Well, libraries for starters. And the ones they don't actually close, they're going to make self-service.
Self-service? How are they going to do that?
Search me. I suppose you just pick the books you want and then take them back when they're finished.
Sounds like they'll soon run out of books if they do that.
Ah, but maybe that's their plan. They let people borrow all the books, and when the shelves are empty, there'll be no point in actually having the libraries open anymore, so they can close them down altogether.
I wouldn't put it past them.
No, me neither. Darren says they're cutting the subsidence on bus fares too.
Subsidies?
Yeah, and them. And they're cutting free fares for the over 60s.
Can they do that?
So Darren says.
Must be true then.
Oh yeah, and get this, they're cutting hedges and grass.
Huh. I think you'll find they already do that.
No, what I mean is they're cutting the amount of hedge and grass cutting they do. You know what that means, don't you?
Longer grass?
No, it means our Donald will be cut if he doesn't watch it. He picks up quite a bit of extra work in the season, actually, cutting hedges and things for the council.
But what about us? What did Darren say about us?
He says they're out to get us cleaners. There'll be no hiding place, he said. Even bus shelters won't be safe.
I wasn't planning to hide in a bus shelter.
No. What he meant was that even bus shelters weren't going to escape cleaning cutbacks. £70,000, I think that's what he said. £70,000 is what they reckon they could actually save by not cleaning bus shelters so often.
But they'll want their offices kept clean, won't they? I mean, they might be quite happy to let the public suffer, but they won't want to have to work in a dirty office, will they? Double standards, that's what that is.
They're duplicatorous, that's what they are.
Duplicitous. Yes, you're probably right.
But they need us.
Well, up to a point.
So we'll be okay, you reckon, if we keep our noses clean.
And their offices clean. Anything that affects them personally and ensures their personal comfort, they'll want to hold on to.
What? They'll be more circumcised, you mean?
I don't think they'll go that far. More circumspect, perhaps.
Ah, that too. So we don't want to actually give them any cause for complaint, in actual fact. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, but we're not just going to roll over either. I think we should just carry on as we are.
Well, we don't want to give them no excuse.
Not at all.
In actual fact, Ange, we have got to be seen as squeaky clean.
The mantra always is value for money.
Josie isn't sure she understands what a mantra is, but doesn't say anything.
Best get on, then.
Best had.
Angela takes a duster from her caddy and lightly flicks it over the desk while Josie sees her and tuts.
Oh, come on. Give it some elbow grease.
At this, Angela looks in her cleaning caddy.
Don't think I've got any of that. What's it look like?
Very funny.
You've got to laugh, Jose. If you don't, you'll cry.
Tell me about it.
Josie picks up a photograph from the top of the bookshelf and wipes it with her duster.
What are you doing?
You can see what I'm doing. I'm dusting this photograph.
It's upright.
Sorry?
The photograph frame is in an upright position. It's vertical.
It doesn't actually count, though, does it? I mean, I could, if I wanted to, clean it horizontally. It wouldn't make any difference, would it? Not actually.
Ooh, it's a slippery slope, Joes, a slippery slope. You start off with the best intentions, only cleaning horizontal surfaces, and then before you know it, they become vertical. I'm not inclined to go down that path myself.
Isn't that making a mountain out of a molehill, actually?
No. Oh, look, the thing is, Josie, you know we're only employed as horizontal cleaners. That's your carpets, your floors and your desks. We are not employed as vertical cleaners, so walls are out of the question. So are pictures and, for that matter, photographs.
Well, perhaps we need to be a bit more flexible, Ange. Show willing and all that. Don't give them any cause for complaint.
You can be flexible. I'm not. I'm happy working horizontally.
Yeah, well, we all know that, Ange.
Oh, you've just got a dirty mind, you have.
Oh, come on. Let's get this office finished, shall we?
Yeah, all right then.
Angela resumes her dusting of the desk and rearranges some of the papers on it to do so.
You're not actually supposed to move the contents of the desk, Ange. You know that.
Not exactly the contents, are they? I mean, how am I supposed to clean the desk if it's covered with paper?
Just saying.
You're the one who was suggesting a more responsible, conciliatory approach to our working practices, if I recall.
Was I?
You were. Mind you, I'd lay bets they don't make any cuts in this office.
Why?
It's the nerve centre, the hub. See? Here's his business cards. Roger Beasley, head of the department.
So this is the big boss's office, is it?
Head honcho. Top dog. Earning an absolute packet, I bet.
Well, that makes the top dog a fat cat, then.
Yeah.
And I bet he won't be having his pay cut.
Oh, no way. Welcome to the lair of the great axe wielder, the big cheese himself. Oh, it stinks, doesn't it?
What, like Gorgonzola?
What? Oh, yes, like Gorgonzola. Or maybe, Joes, if the big cheese was a woman, it could be Emma Dale.
Yes, thank you, Ange. I get the joke.
Or Reggiano.
Is that a cheese?
I think so. Reggiano. It's Parmesan, I think. Yes, must be. We had some questions on types of cheese once.
It's remarkable where you pick up these little nuggets of knowledge, Ange.
Yes, isn't it? You see, you scoff at my little pastime, but can come in quite handy sometimes.
Angela goes over to the bookcase and picks the photograph up.
So, I wonder who she is then. His wife, do you think? I mean, she looks quite pleasant.
Not the sort you'd find married to him, you mean?
No. Chalk and cheese.
I'll go and get the vacuum.
Josie leaves the office, leaving Angela to continue with the dusting of the desk. She flicks a duster across the filing tray and then moves the top folder to dust it. She stops, noticing something, puts down her duster and takes out another folder. As she opens it, her face falls. She's still looking at it when Josie returns with the vacuum cleaner.
What are you doing?
Reading.
We should be getting on.
I think you'll want to see this. It seems all that young Darren saw was true, and then some.
What is it then, Ange? What have you got there?
Dynamite. That's what this is. It's called Cost-Benefit Analysis of Statutory and Non-Statutory Services, Implications and Recommendations for Implementing Reductions.
What's that when it's at home, then?
What you said. A hit list.
Show me.
Here.
I told you! I said young Darren had had his ears to the ground.
That was never in doubt.
It's all here, Ange. Is there nothing they're not cutting?
Seems not.
A mount of salt laid on icy roads by gritters to be reduced from 10 millimetres to 6 millimetres, with anticipated savings of £45,000.
Can't argue with that. Not if it has the same effect.
Suppose not. What about shutting household centres, though? You know, those places where you dump all your rubbish. They're actually planning to get rid of three.
What are they going to do? Recycle them?
And here's the bit about libraries. And a freeze on replacement furniture, it seems. Oh, and here's the grass cutting bit. Grass cutting on highway verges to be reduced from the current 11 cuts per season in urban areas to 9. £45,000 to be saved by stopping an anti-bullying project.
Oh, I can see the headlines now. Council bully boys silence opposition.
Oh, it gets worse.
What?
Old people are going to be hit really hard.
They're going to go round hitting old people now?
No, they're cutting them.
What? That's inhuman. Some sort of cull, is that what they're proposing? Well, that'll certainly reduce the burden on the taxpayer.
No, I mean old people's homes. Care homes and that. They're actually selling them off.
What? Complete with contents?
I don't know, it doesn't say. Oh, Ange! I can't see anything about us, though.
Oh, come on, let me have another look.
Josie hands the report back to Angela, who weighs it in her hand.
They certainly don't cut down on the size of their reports, do they?
No.
Oh, an index would be useful. Hey, what's this? Did you know the council owned a theatre, Jose?
No.
Well, they do, and they're planning to cut funding for that too.
That's terrible.
But you never go to the theatre.
Doesn't matter, it's still terrible. What's the council doing running a theatre anyway?
I'm not sure they know. Ah, oh, here's something. Oh, poor old Darren's for the chop, maybe.
Eh?
A saving of £320,000 could be realised by cutting 15 posts in IT.
Even Darren's not protected then.
Seems not.
She spots something and, sighing, sits down on the chair in resignation.
Found it. As we thought.
What?
Redundant. They're going to make us redundant.
Don't be daft. They've got to have their offices cleaned, you said.
But by far fewer people.
Josie tentatively and slowly slides a duster over the desk as she speaks.
It won't actually be done as thoroughly as we do it, though, will it?
They're claiming it will. They've done studies according to this. They say that... Well, listen to this. Research indicates that the numbers of cleaning personnel could be reduced by 30% without serious degradation of the cleaning process and with no noticeable effect on the cleanliness of workplaces. Indeed, there is some evidence to support the theory that the standards of cleanliness might actually improve if cleaners operated individually rather than in teams. The study showed that a significant amount of time is wasted by intra-team communication.
What's that mean?
We talk too much.
Bloody cheek! When do we ever actually get the chance to natter? I don't, as it happens, in actual fact, like talking too much when I'm working.
Sorry? Could you say that again?
You heard, Ange. I like to get on with my job, I do. Rather than gassing all the time, I prefer to roll my sleeves up and get down to it.
Josie? Josie. It is Josie I'm talking to, isn't it? We have, in case you haven't noticed, Jose, spent a considerable amount of time in conversation this evening when we should perhaps have been rolling up our sleeves, as you put it.
You can talk.
Guilty as charged.
They wouldn't actually make both of us redundant, though, will they? Only one.
But which one?
Well, the more redundant one, obviously.
No, that doesn't help.
It helps me. I mean, who, in actual fact, is the one who's not here when she actually should be? Who is on radio quiz shows when she actually should be working? Whose voice, no doubt, has been heard on the self-same quiz show by the actual people who are deciding which of their cleaning staff should be for the chop.
Oh, you don't think they listen to the Simon Hoggins show, do you?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, it's perfectly obvious they've got no taste.
I'm not quite sure what you're saying. Look, Neither of us should be made redundant. I mean, where would they be without us?
Much where they are now, I suppose.
No, they'd be wallowing around in dirty offices with unpolished desks, waste bins full to overflowing, grubby carpets. It doesn't bear thinking about.
Are you actually saying we're indefensible?
Hand on heart, I'm not sure I could go that far.
It's not actually fair, is it?
Life isn't, Josie.
You know, if I had another job to go to, you wouldn't see me for dust.
An appropriate metaphor, Jose.
Eh?
Come on, let's just empty the bins and get out of here, or we'll be here all night.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
She takes a black plastic bag from her cleaning caddy and picks up one of the waste bins. As she starts to empty it into the bag, she stops.
Funny.
Tragedy, I'd call it.
Josie has a crumpled photograph in her hand, which she flattens out.
Isn't this the girl in accounts? You know, the chirpy one.
Let's see. Oh, yes, I think so. Looks like she's in New York. What about it?
Well, I found her in his bin.
Well, as long as you didn't find her in his bed.
Oh, my God, Ange. You don't think he's, do you?
What are you talking about, Jose?
You know, you don't actually think he's got a bit on the side, do you?
Don't you think you're extrapolating rather a lot from one simple photograph, Josie?
Then why is it in the bin?
Perhaps he didn't like it. It was all scrunched up, wasn't it?
But why has he actually got a photograph of what's-her-name in his bin at all?
Does it matter?
Well, I think it's suspicious.
I think your imagination is getting the better of you.
Ha-ha!
Bloody hell, you'll give me a heart attack yelling out like that.
On the back, thanks for a great time, it says, and then a big kiss.
Even so, on its own, it's...
Ha-ha!
Jeez, will you stop doing that, please, Jose?
You'll never guess. You'll never actually guess what I've just seen, Ange.
What?
It's only a hotel reservation, actually.
Oh, is that all?
A reservation for a Holiday Inn in Cardiff.
So?
So that proves it, doesn't it?
Proves what?
Matey here and what's her name? See? And it's for a double room.
Most rooms are doubles in those sorts of hotels, Jose.
Yeah, are they?
Afraid so. It could just have been a business trip. That's more than likely.
Even so.
And it could have been with his wife, for all you know.
No, no, it all adds up as far as I'm concerned. Course it does.
But Cardiff? I mean, it's not exactly where you would immediately think of for a night of passion, is it?
It beats Swansea.
I'll give you that, but it's not Paris or Venice, is it?
No, I can feel it in my bones, Ange.
Please yourself.
Oh, come on, let's see what other dirt we can dish.
Angela watches as Josie begins to open the desk drawers, slowly, one after the other.
Hey, you can't go rummaging through his drawers like that.
Why not? He's obviously been rummaging through hers.
Josie, you're the one saying we should be getting on, keeping our noses clean and that. And now you're poking yours where it doesn't belong.
Just a quick peek. Promise. Ha-ha! Yes!
Oh, what now?
Bills.
And whose bill?
Hotel bills. I've actually found some hotel bills.
You're not planning to pay them, are you?
They've been paid. Oh, have they been paid? Here's the Holiday Inn one, August 28th. And it's got room service on it. Champagne, see? Champagne in their room. What do you think of that?
Very nice.
And, would you believe, he's actually got it named after him.
Got what named after him?
The champagne. Paul Roger, it says.
I don't think Paul Roger Champagne was actually named after our Roger.
No? Well, wouldn't surprise me. And what a price.
That's hotels for you. Ooh, now that's an idea.
What's an idea?
Angela has picked up the diary from the desk.
What do I have here?
A diary.
And what's in it, I wonder?
Well, lots of dates, I expect. Oh, his dates. Our Roger's dates, you mean?
Exactly. When was the Holiday Inn?
August 28th.
August 28th. Yes, here we are. It's a Saturday. Not a work day, then. Oh, and here's a funny thing. The day before, there's a note. Joyce at school reunion in Cheltenham. What's the betting that Joyce is Roger's wife?
Odds on, I'd say.
And under Saturday, all he's written is H-I with S.
H-I with S? What's that mean?
Well, my guess is that H-I stands for Holiday Inn, and S must be his fancy bit. So it's Holiday Inn with Sandra, Sarah, someone. And here's another entry. Oh, he gets around our Roger, doesn't he?
Oh, yes. And here's another bill. And what the... Oh, and...
You're not going to start that screaming again, are you?
Cuddly Bunnykins.
Cuddly Bunnykins?
Look, it's a gift tag. To Roger, my own special cuddly Bunnykins with lots of love from Sam.
So, the S stands for Sam. That's one little mystery solved.
Oh, Ange, you don't think Roger's, do you?
What? Oh, no, don't be daft. It's Samantha or something, I expect. That's the sort of name she'd have, isn't it? Sultry, sexy Samantha and cuddly Bunnykins.
Josie, meanwhile, has returned to ferreting in one of the desk drawers.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Ah! Will you please stop doing that, Josie?
Josie, eyes wide, nods in affirmation.
You haven't by any chance discovered something else, have you, Jose?
You don't want to see.
But you want to show me.
You will never guess.
Oh, don't play games, Jose. Don't tell me you found a pair of her knickers.
Josie looks deflated as she slowly brings out a pair of lacy knickers.
How did you know?
I didn't.
Well, we've certainly caught him with his trousers down now, haven't we?
I'd have thought boxer shorts would have been more his line.
What are we going to do about it?
Do about what?
The evidence.
Josie starts to wave the knickers around.
I don't see what we can or want to do about it, frankly. It just confirms to me the double standards of those in power. It's the way of the world, and I doubt it will ever change.
That's a bit psychological of you.
Philosophical, yes, but undoubtedly true.
He shouldn't get away with it. I mean, how dare he plan to do away with us while he does... Well, actually, he does do-you-know-what.
I'm not sure the two things are related.
But he shouldn't, should he?
No, agreed.
So, if he's going to get rid of us, we should expose him for what he is.
What good will that do?
I don't know. Make him think twice?
About his double standards, you mean?
Yes, I know. I've got it. We can do a protest march.
What? The two of us?
No, there'll be loads who'll join in. I mean, everyone will be up in arms when they see the actual scale of the actual cuts, won't they?
That's true.
So, we can sort out this whacking great protest march. We can march round and round County Hall. We'll get the telly, the papers, the radio, the lot.
Well, yes.
We'll expose them for what they actually are. That'll make them think again about laying us off.
And how are we going to do that?
We'll show the world what they get up to. They're not so squeaky clean, are they?
No.
And now we've actually got something to attack them with, haven't we?
I don't follow.
Well, what the top dog has been up to. Dogging the girl from accounts.
We don't know that.
Of course we do. The evidence is there for everyone to see.
For us to see, agreed.
So, we should bring it to everyone's attention. It's in the public's interest, that's what it is.
What are you proposing?
Oh, I can see it now. Placards saying things like, "Whoever else you screw, you're not screwing us."
I'm not sure that's quite the right thing to do, Josie.
They'll find it agnostic, you mean?
They may find it a bit antagonistic, yes. I mean, exposing his little affair might show him up in a bad light, but that's hardly going to make him want to keep us on, is it? The opposite, in fact.
No, I suppose you're right.
After all, once it's out in the open, we have nothing left to say, do we? I mean, it's only the threat of exposing him that will make him come to his senses.
Angela stops and slowly turns her head towards Josie, who looks at her and nods silently.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I think so.
In actual fact, I'm thinking ahead.
You are?
Yeah. The thing is, if we're actually going to protect our jobs as cleaners, we've got to do what cleaners do.
What's that?
Play dirty.
It is daytime in the same office. Nothing much has changed. Roger is working at his computer. He checks some figures in a file, taps the keyboard, then pushes himself back on his chair a little way before picking up the telephone and dialing a number.
Carol! Oh, hello, it's Roger. I just thought I'd give you a ring to thank you for last night. Thanks for inviting me. It went off really well, didn't it? Yes, it was good, wasn't it? We must do it again sometime. No, I really enjoyed it. It's years since I've done anything like that.
Roger looks up and puts a hand over the mouthpiece before calling out,
Come in.
Angela and Josie enter the office. They are no longer in their cleaning outfits. Roger signals for them to come in. They shuffle towards him before standing some distance from his desk. He acknowledges their presence and motions to them to wait while he finishes his phone call.
No, it's just someone come to see me. So, how was it for you? Well, that's very nice of you to say so. You were pretty good yourself, I may say. Yes, indeed, I haven't had so much fun for ages. How you got into some of those positions, I'll never know. Yes, of course. What? No, I didn't mean that. It's just that neither of us are as young as we used to be, are we? I don't know about you, but I get quite stiff sometimes. Well, I suppose it's like riding a bike, isn't it? You never really forget. Once you're back in the saddle, it's automatic, so to speak. Oh, look, sorry, Carol, I've got to go. There are some people here. Yes, we must do it again sometime soon. I'll look forward to it. Bye, then. Bye. Can I help you?
We'd like a word.
Yes?
It's of a somewhat personal nature, actually.
I see.
Do you?
No, not really. I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about. Who are you, anyway? How did you get in here?
We know you.
Lots of people know me. The question is, who are you?
Let's just say we've come to give you some advice.
Do you mind telling me what you want?
We heard you on the phone just now.
You were in the room, so that's hardly surprising.
This Carol, was it? Another one, is she?
Another one what?
You know what we mean.
Look, this is getting ridiculous. Either you say what you've evidently come in here to say, or please leave. I'm a rather busy person, and I'd like to get on.
No doubt you would.
So what about that phone call, then? What was that all about?
None of your business.
Oh, no?
Who the hell are you?
We told you we've come to give you some advice.
Perhaps I could give you some advice. If you don't leave very soon, I will have you both ejected.
So, what were you up to with Carol, then, eh? What were you on about on the phone just now? As if we couldn't guess.
I was thanking her for last night, if you must know.
No, I bet you were.
We were taking part in a ballroom dancing competition. For charity.
A likely story.
Look, do you mind leaving now?
When we've said what we've come to say.
I think you've said enough, frankly.
Oh, do you actually? We know all about you, Mr. Roger Beasley. We know what you get up to. The Holiday Inn, Cardiff, August 28th. Ring a bell?
Why, should it?
On business, were you?
I can't remember. I'm often away on business, and it's no business of yours.
Well, we'll try and refresh your memory, shall we? Do you usually have champagne sent up to the room? Do you?
Look, I don't know what you're trying to insinuate.
We're not trying to inseminate anything.
What?
What we're saying is that we know about your little liaisons, and there's really no use in denying it. It wasn't a business trip, that's certain. And Joyce was at a school reunion that weekend, wasn't she? Very fortunate.
So I stayed in a Holiday Inn. Is that it?
No, it gets worse. The following Thursday you stayed in a travel lodge.
Must have been a bit of a come down for her, wasn't it?
You can't prove a thing.
You're not seriously going to deny it, are you, Roger?
We know all about you, you see.
I see.
Oh, yes, we know all about you, cuddly bunnykins.
Cuddly?
Oh, don't play the innocent with us, Rog. We've been watching you for a long time.
This is clearly a surprise to Angela, who mouths, "Have we?" at Josie, who ignores her and carries on.
Oh, yes. You thought you'd actually get away with it, didn't you? You thought nobody would actually notice your little sexual expeditions, your adulterations. So tell me, Roger, who else have you been Rogering? How did it feel to be cheating on old Joyce, eh?
Who are you?
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is that we know all about your affair.
How much do you know?
We know her name is Sam.
Huh. Samantha Vickers. Yes?
Samantha, yes.
As she says this, Angela proudly whips the photograph out from her bag.
And here she is.
Who?
Angela is visibly taken aback.
You do recognise her, don't you?
Of course.
She works here.
I know.
In accounts.
I know.
Ha-ha! So you admit it, do you?
Yes, I know who it is. I told you.
And we know who it is too. This is her, isn't it?
Who?
Oh, don't play games, Mr. Beasley. This is your floozy, isn't it? Samantha.
No.
What do you mean, no?
It's not Samantha.
Astounded, Angela and Josie look at each other.
Not Samantha Vickers?
No.
But if this isn't Samantha, who is it then?
Sophie.
Oh, that's even worse. How many more are there? What are you, some kind of serial philatelist?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, she means philanderer.
I am not a philanderer. One minor indiscretion, that's all. And that photograph is not Sam.
So this is Sophie?
I know. I just said it was.
You're disgusting. Do you know that?
How dare you? What the hell are you talking about?
Don't you have any self-respect? Why, you're old enough to be her father.
I am her father.
What do you mean?
Sophie's my daughter.
Oh, yeah. Think we believe that.
What do you want? A DNA test?
How do you actually know she's your daughter?
I won't dignify that stupid question with an answer.
Then what was a photograph of your daughter doing in your bin?
Because I threw it there.
You actually threw a photograph of your daughter in the bin?
Yes. It was up on the bookcase. There in a frame next to the picture of, Joyce.
Your wife?
Yes. And I came in one morning to find it had been knocked off and broken. The glass was smashed and the photograph torn. I put it in my desk drawer and it was there for ages. When I came across it the other day, it was all crumpled. So I threw it away. Bloody cleaners.
What?
The cleaners. They're the ones who probably broke it.
You don't know that?
Wouldn't surprise me. They're useless, most of them.
Are they?
From what I've seen, yes. I'd get rid of them all if I had my way.
What? Do the cleaning yourself?
No, of course not. I'd get someone in who was competent.
Are you saying your present cleaners are incontinent?
If we can get back to the matter in hand. If this is your daughter, as you say, then why has it got this written on the back? Thanks for a great time and a big kiss.
I paid for a holiday in the States for Sophie in her gap year.
Ah, and you wouldn't like her or Joyce to know you were having an affair?
Are you trying to blackmail me? Is that what this is about?
No, as we said, we are here to give you some advice.
I'll give you advice.
Oh, adopting that tone of voice won't help, Roger.
What do you want?
Let's call it an exchange.
Exchange of what?
You give us what we want, and we return the favour.
I repeat, what do you want?
The cuts reconstituted.
What?
We'd like some of the proposed council cuts to be rescinded, that's all.
Blackmail, as I said.
Oh, blackmail is a rather ugly word.
I'd call it accurate. And if you think I am about to be blackmailed by you two, you have another think coming. You've got nothing on me.
And what did Samantha have on then, eh?
What are you talking about?
Are these Miss Vickers' knickers, then?
With great ceremony, Josie whips out the knickers.
Where did you get those from?
We know where you got them from, that's for sure.
Give them here.
Shan't.
Josie holds up the knickers, taunting him. He tries to grab them, and she darts around the desk. He tries to get them again.
Drop them, I say.
What?
Drop those knickers when you're told.
Roger and Josie jostle around the desk as he tries to catch her.
Oh, you do have a sexy way of putting things. Is that what Samantha likes? A bit of discipline?
You?
Yes.
Wait till I get hold of you.
Come on, then.
Right. You ask for it.
Oh, I bet you say that to all the girls.
You!
Roger makes an attempt to grab Josie, who pushes him away, with the result that he falls very hard behind the desk. For a second, Josie stands transfixed, realising what she's done, before tentatively going to him.
Are you all right?
Josie kneels down behind the desk.
I say, are you all right?
Well?
He must have bashed his head when he fell.
Well, is he breathing?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, what have we done?
I don't know.
Well, is he dead?
I don't know. Slightly.
What do you mean, slightly dead?
Well, I don't know. All right. Actually, he's fully dead. Oh, God. What do we do now? How can we resuffocate him?
Resuscitate? And I don't know about resuscitating him, Josie. From the look of it, we need to resurrect him.
Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Calm down. Now's not the time to panic.
Well, when is the time to panic, then?
Oh, you're probably right. That seems as good a time as any.
Oh, my God. I'll be incarcerated. Is that right? Incarcerated?
For once, Josie, yes, you're right. In fact, we'll probably both be incarcerated.
Oh, I don't want to die.
Incarcerated doesn't mean they're going to kill you.
What does it mean, then?
It means...
Oh, what's that?
It's him.
Oh.
Josie watches with growing panic as Roger raises his head and struggles to his feet, rising behind the desk. He is very unsteady and he puts his arms out in front of him to balance himself.
Oh, my God, he's turned into a zombie.
Roger tries to focus on her and then walks unsteadily towards her.
Get away from me! Ange, do something!
Roger sways from side to side and sinks once again to the floor.
Oh, it's all right.
What do we do? Do we need a stake or something to finish him off?
What are you talking about?
It's the only thing to do, to actually put the undead out of their misery. I've seen it in the films.
Like Shaun of the Dead, you mean?
Angela goes over to him.
Oh, he's alive, you daft bugger. Here, help me sit him up.
They both get down beside him and sit him up.
What happened? Oh, my head.
You had a bit of a fall, that's all.
A fall?
Yes, just now.
Where am I?
In your office.
Office? What office? Who are you? Do I know you?
Angela and Josie look at one another with relief.
I'm Mabel, and this is my friend, Christine. We're here to help you.
I need help. My head, it feels awful.
You've had a bit of a bump, love. Nothing to worry about, though. You'll soon be right as rain. Don't you, actually remember what happened?
No, who am I?
You don't know?
No. What's happening? I feel terribly confused.
Oh, it's only natural to feel like that. You've had a bit of a shock, that's all.
Roger slowly looks around the room while rubbing his head.
It looks vaguely familiar, this place, and yet I don't... What's my name?
Your name? Don't you actually remember your name?
No, I can't remember.
Do you remember us talking to you earlier?
Earlier than what?
Earlier than just now.
No, I don't think I do. What did you say your names were again?
Sylvia and Brenda.
And you actually don't remember our little conversation just now?
What conversation?
Exactly. Well, that's a relief.
Why?
Because there wasn't one.
Sorry? Oh, Oh, you're confusing me.
Oh, we confuse ourselves sometimes.
So did I black out or what?
Something like that, I expect. We found you in here, collapsed on the floor.
We thought you were dead for a minute.
Then she thought you were the undead.
I don't follow.
Roger looks up at Josie and notices that she is still clutching the knickers.
Why are you holding a pair of knickers?
What? Oh, they're mine. I was just about to put them on.
Why? Aren't you wearing any?
Roger now looks at Josie with renewed interest, and Angela decides to step in.
Oh, now come on, Roger. We don't want you to get overexcited, do we?
Roger, is that my name?
Well, it could be. Look, why don't you sit up here in this nice comfy chair?
Yes, yes, that's a good idea.
One on each side of him, they help him carefully into the seat.
There. Could have been made for you, couldn't it?
I don't feel right. I really don't.
Course not. It's only to be expected.
What you need is some brandy.
Oh, in the drawer there.
Roger struggles to raise his hand and points to the filing cabinet. Josie goes to it and opens a drawer.
No, no, the bottom drawer. There's a bottle of whiskey there, I think.
Josie opens the drawer and takes out a bottle of whiskey. She looks around for a glass or cup before spying a china pot with pens and pencils in it. She empties them over the desk, glugs some whiskey in it, and gives it to him to drink.
Here.
Thanks. Oh, that's good.
Here, wait a minute. How come you knew where the booze was kept?
I don't know. There are some things I remember, then I just wish I knew who I was. What did you say my name was again?
Roger. It's Roger Beasley.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a very nice name.
Roger, what was it again?
Beasley. Look, I'll tell you what. Why don't you write it down a few times? That'll help you remember.
Yes, yes. Thank you. You're very kind.
That's us. We're all heart.
I'm sure you are.
Angela has got hold of some paper and a pen.
Here. Try writing your name down a few times.
Roger Beasley.
Beasley?
Yes.
Roger scribbles on the paper a few times as Angela watches him. Then she obviously has a thought and flicks through the filing tray and pulls out a wad of printed letterheads.
That's good. Now, let's try writing your name a few more times, shall we? Why don't you write your name just about there?
Angela puts a letterhead on the desk and indicates where he should sign.
Sign here?
Yes, that'll be lovely.
Josie has a questioning look as she makes as if to walk over to the two. But Angela motions for her to stay away. Without looking at the letterheads, she stacks them up on the end of the desk as he signs.
I think you're right. It is helping. I might be able to remember a bit more soon.
Well, you don't want to exert yourself, and we'll have to be off soon anyway. I tell you what, there's a nice comfy-looking sofa in the boardroom opposite. Why don't you let Josie take you there and you can have a nice lie down?
Yes, come on. It'll do you the world of good.
Oh, well, if you think so.
Nurse's orders.
Ah, which one of you is the nurse then?
Come on, I'll show you where it is.
Josie follows Roger as he leaves the room while Angela settles down in front of the computer and begins tapping on the keyboard. After a short while, Josie returns.
How is he?
Oh, I'll give him 2 minutes and he'll be sleeping like a baby, I reckon.
Great, that'll give me time to finish these.
What are you doing?
What I'm doing is writing a number of letters.
No. What are you actually doing?
Writing letters.
Who to?
To the newspapers, to the BBC, to local radio, and to other council departments.
I don't understand.
I'm writing to say I don't agree with the cuts that have been imposed on us, and I want them reversed.
But we know that. I don't want them either.
No, not me.
But you just said...
Ah, but the letters I'm writing won't be signed by me. They'll be signed by one Mr. Roger Beasley. Do you get my meaning, Jose?
B- Brilliant! So that's why you got him to sign his names on all those letterheads.
Exactly.
Angela, you are a genius.
I wouldn't disagree with that. Hand me them, will you, and we'll print one off.
Josie goes over to the pile of letterheads and picks them up to check them. As she does, her face falls.
Only one thing.
What's that?
Well, these letterheads he signed.
Yes?
Well, I'm not actually too sure they're going to be that impressed when they actually see who they're from.
What do you mean?
Josie holds them all up.
They're all signed Cuddly Bunnykins.
It is early evening, about 3 months later, and we find Josie half-heartedly pushing a duster across the corner of the same desk. She stops, surveys what she's done, then looks at her watch before taking out a can of spray polish, gives a little squirt, picks up her duster again, and recommences wiping the desk. She doesn't immediately notice Angela appear, no longer dressed in her office cleaning clothes. Angela now sports a smart business suit.
Ah, I thought I'd find you in here, up to your elbows in elbow grease.
Oh, hello, Ange. Long time no see.
It's only been 3 months.
Yeah, but a lot has happened, actually.
Certainly has.
Well, you look like you've fallen butter side up.
Sorry?
I must say you do look preposterous.
What?
Oh, I didn't mean that, did I?
Prosperous, perhaps. Or prepossessing.
Yeah, one of them will do. You look nice anyway.
Thanks. Jose, here's something that will amuse you.
What?
Well, you know how I worry about my weight.
Don't we all?
Yeah, but it really stresses me, you know, worrying about what I can eat. And then I realised why.
Why?
Well, I discovered the word stressed makes perfect sense when you realise that it's dessert spelled backwards.
Is that a fact, actually?
Yeah.
Was that one of your pub quiz questions or something? It sounds like it.
No, should have been though, shouldn't it?
I am sorry, Ange.
Sorry about what?
You getting made redundant and all that.
Oh, don't worry. One of us was going to have to go. You know that.
Yeah, but even so...
No, honestly, Josie, it's fine. Things have worked out just fine.
I never thought he would actually carry on with the cuts, though.
It was inevitable, Josie. Really, it was.
I could not believe it, Ange. I could not. Being outsourced... Actually outsourced.
What's so bad about that? I mean, you're no longer working directly for Mr. Roger Beasley, are you?
No, I suppose not. But I don't want to be outsourced.
Oh, come on, Jose, it's not so bad.
I want my old job. That's all I ask for, actually.
But that's not possible, is it? You know that. The old order is changing when we have to move with the times.
What are you on about?
I'm just saying that the old way of doing business won't work anymore. We can't rely on having the jobs we always thought we would have. Cleaning is a commodity, just like everything else. And cleaners are merely service providers in the great scheme of things, and as such, have to pay their way or be dispensed with.
Angela, what are you rabbiting on about?
I'm merely saying, Josie, that you should accept the inevitable. Bow down to the new order. Accept that you are now outsourced.
What? Be taken to the cleaners, you mean?
It may feel like that, but it's not really.
Yeah, but we don't know who these people are, do we? This new company that's got the council contract. Cleaning Angels, they call themselves. I mean, who are they when they're at home?
I think you'll find the clue is in the name.
I don't follow.
Cleaning Angels. What does that suggest to you?
Cleaners with halos? Or wings, maybe?
Hardly. Oh, think about the angel part of the name.
I don't know what you mean, Ange.
Oh. Talking about quizzes and things, though, Jose.
Were we?
Well, I've got a little surprise.
Yeah?
You've heard of Make a Million, haven't you?
What, the TV quiz show? Are you going on that, Ange?
No, I've been on it.
You've been on it? Never.
Really?
You've actually been on TV? Well, why didn't you tell me? I'd have watched. Oh, so how did you do?
Well, I didn't win.
Oh.
I stopped when I got to 100K. Didn't want to chance it going on any further.
What? £100,000, you mean? Well, that's fantabulous.
Well, I'm pleased you're pleased. And once I'd added my redundancy money to it...
What did you buy? Go on, what did you actually buy?
A company.
A company what?
No, a cleaning company.
You're joking. What, do you mean like cleaning angels?
Exactly like cleaning angels.
You are joking. You are joking. Oh, do you mean angel, as in Angela?
Yes, you work for me now, Jose.
Oh, right.
Josie reaches for a duster and immediately starts dusting, furiously.
It's all right. I'll let you off. This once.
Oh, that's very magnanimous of you.
I think I get your meaning. Right, well, I'd better be getting on. I just thought I'd pop in and see how you were doing.
Oh, I'm all right. Oh, and did you know, me and Darren are kind of an item.
Well, that's good, Josie. I'm pleased for you. I did hear he kept his job in IT.
Yeah, he got promoted too. He's head of department now, actually. Cuddly Bunnykins put in a good word for him.
Did he now? I wonder why.
I wouldn't actually know. Something about needing to keep his web browsing habits a bit quiet, apparently.
I see.
Of course, it means I could lay my hands on some useful information about which council cleaning contracts are coming up for renewal. That sort of thing.
Oh, yes?
Yeah. I'm sort of on the inside track now, you see.
Really? Well, that could be interesting, Josie. And what would you want in return for this, information?
Oh, nothing much. Just a decent cut.
Thank you for listening to the 9th collaboration between BRT and Kyrenia Amateur Dramatic Society. This production of Dirty Business, a comedy by Derek Webb, was directed by Tony Woods. The cast was, in order of appearance, Natalie Ratcliffe as Josie, Wynne Harrison as Angela, Steve Sydenham as Roger, Stephen Everett as the narrator, Anita Woods as the announcer. Sound effects and editing were by Errol Zia, and studio production was by John Garzi. If you would like to listen to the previous 8 CADS BRT radio plays, then you can listen to them online at www.visionmatters.co.uk. Thank you for listening.
Don't put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage. She's a bit of an ugly duckling, you must honestly confess, and the width of her seat would surely defeat her chances of success. It's a loud voice, and though it's not exactly flat, she'll need a little more than that to earn a living wage. On my knees, Mrs. Worthington, please, Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage. Don't put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage. Though they said at the School of Acting she was lovely as Peer Gynt, I'm afraid on the whole an ingenue role would emphasize her squint. She's a big girl, and though her teeth are fairly good, she's not the type I ever would be eager to engage. No more buts, Mrs. Worthington, nuts, Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage.